This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Hey, everybody. It's Johnny B here.
What is up?
Oh, my man. We are large and in charge.
Yes, sir. We're here, man. All right. Well, we can live with that. Roll with it, man. All right, our sponsors for today's show, Texan Roofing, Mainstream Marketing, and Boyd's One Stop. Weather in Galveston, 79 down on the island. Feels like 85. It's that time of year to start saying what it feels like with the heat index deal. But anyway, 10% chance of rain today. Sunshine and clouds mixed, high around 85. That's down on the island. It'll be in the 90s up here on the high ground. Winds will be south-southeast, 10 to 20. And then tonight, 20% chance of throwing in, partly to mostly cloudy, low of 78. Winds will be southeast 10 to 20 tomorrow. 20% chance, cloudy skies early, then partly cloudy in the afternoon with a stray shower or a thunderstorm. Could be possible, high around 85. Winds will be south-southeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. So summer's finally here and settled in. All right, looks like tides for today. We have a high at the Galveston Channel at 5:42 a.m. It's a 1.5. Then our low tides at 11:13 a.m. a 1.2. And then a high at 2:36 p.m. a 1.3. And then a low tonight at 10:18 p.m. It is even. It's an 0.0. 6:23 a.m. is sunrise. 8:08 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase is 3%. Current conditions looking offshore. The buoy out there showing south-southwest 7 to 9. 80-degree water out there. That water's really coming up now. Eagle Point, west-southwest, 2 to 5, 83-degree water. Morgan's Point, 83-degree water with a southwest or south wind at 1, gusting to 5. Barometric pressure's fairly low all over, 29.82 inches. So there it is. Let's go to Sabine now. Let's get started off with old Captain Bill Watkins, see what's up with him. Bill, good morning.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Man, I'm here, buddy. I'm here. Everything's good.
That's it. I'm back up and running and fishing. Life is good. Yesterday, did you see that picture I sent you?
Yeah, sure did.
It was a lele and hot rod morning. Oh,
good.
Man. That's what they wanted. Didn't matter which one, and I don't think it mattered much which color. they'd tear it out of your hand, buddy.
Yeah.
Boy, that was something else. We actually, the soft plastic was kind of slow, and we knew the fish were there. I picked up a white hot rod, sail that thing out there, and popped it about twice in that current. Man. About a 3-pounder unloaded on it. So I dug out two lelés and tied my guests on one of those. And
went to work.
They were good fishermen. They went to work on them too. And all those fish were, you know, we caught fish from 14 to 19 inches.
Yeah.
And I think we had one about 20. They were really nice fish, really nice. So we, by 8:25, we had our 15 each for them on Louisiana side. And since I don't keep my limit anymore, even when I'm over there, I said, well, boys, let's go do something else. So we went and looked redfish. Could not catch a redfish.
Still having problems finding them over there.
So we just we caught and released at least another 20 trout. that made the morning, though. It was a great day.
Yeah.
It's always cool when those fish bite that good. You can actually catch them on how you want to catch them. I think the last 20 we caught on soft plastics, we switched areas, and those fish further up in the lake were on the bottom. I mean, you had to crawl it on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably because of fresh water. And it worked out. It was a great trip.
What's your water clarity and color looking like over there now?
Coffee with cream.
Coffee with cream, still no change?
Yeah, we had for the first hour of the falling tide, I could see down probably 16 inches, which is, you know, that's good enough.
That's plenty good, yeah. If there's fish in the water there, you can catch them on lures and that, no problem.
That's all you have to do, you know, when you're in dirty water. If you find those trout, all you have to do is just make believe it's clear and throw in it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll catch those fish. They can find it. I mean, it makes the strike zone shrink up a little, but you miss a few strikes because even if they're feeding hard, they can't see it. But they're remarkably well made to feed at nighttime or dirty water or whatever. They can handle themselves no matter what. We all like to fish in clear water where you can see the fish. It's really neat that way. But hey, they can handle the situation. They always it's always remarkable to me to how well they can find a lure. So we threw soft plastics. We were throwing bright yellow. I guess you call it lime truce, but it's more yellow. And either the Little John or the down south, either one. And that seems to be the most visible color. But I had some guys in the boat the other day. They were throwing pearl white, chartreuse tail, Norton Sandhills, the junior. Uh-huh. And shoot, they were catching them just as fast as you could imagine. So that's a good color too. White or yellow or lime truce or anything with a yellow tail on it.
Right.
That they can key in on that. So
I wonder where the word chartreuse came from.
I don't know.
It isn't a real word, is it?
It may be. I don't know.
I think when you're typing on your, I remember when I used to write for Texas Saltwater Magazine, when I'd type it in on my computer, it would want to do an autocorrect on it. It, you know, showed it was misspelled. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
So, well.
Lime truth sure doesn't register.
Well,
no.
According
no.
to Google,
chartreuse.
It is a Montessori drink to color. That is from the Chartreuse Mountains.
Oh,
Chartreuse
wow.
Mountains.
Yes. It's,
okay, so it is a real word?
Yes, it says it's named after the La Grande Chartreuse, the Carthusian Montessori near Grenoble. I'm terrible with grammar, I'm sorry. But where the liquor Chartreuse was first made.
Now I've had chartreuse before after a big steak. It's supposed to help you digest your food better.
It's a pale or green or yellow liqueur
Yeah.
Made from brandy and aromatic herbs.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Here we go. Boy, hey, Johnny's a walking encyclopedia, buddy.
Hey, man.
We're going to nickname you Webster, man. Dictionary. Webster.
Oh, Lord. I already got too many bad radio nicknames. Now I'm Webster.
I like Johnny B. better. Webster doesn't fit. Oh, Lord.
That's funny.
Sounds
well,
good.
Hey, thanks for that. We thank you for that enlightenment there.
I'm telling you, hey, Johnny made my day with that one, brother.
Report for the morning.
You're not hooked on phonics. You're hooked on chronic. Oh, remember that movie? Oh, man. All right. But fishing was good, huh? Yeah, it looks
nice. Was good.
Anytime you can catch that many on Lilies, that's good, man. That's a lot of fun. Oh, I love fishing with those baits.
They're just good.
That's it's just a different bite, you know?
Yep. Yeah, when they commit to that thing,
they can't get away from it.
Hardly. We might have lost one. I know we missed two or three strikes, but that rattle in that thing is just enough that they key in on it. And
little
just
enticement.
Oh,
did you try,
yeah.
Did you try any hot rods on them?
I did.
Did you?
They
just didn't want the old hot rod, huh?
Yeah, I caught the first fish on the hot rods.
Oh, okay.
And in pearl white. With
pearl white.
That's a fish-catching little machine. But I actually think, and it might have been the color, I don't know, but I think the Lele's were holding court just a little bit better.
Yeah.
But the might have been that I was just busy helping them take their fish off and putting them in the ice chest.
Sure.
That might have caused me to slow down a little
bit.
Well,
you had to play guide for a while instead of super angler, you know.
Yeah, I play guide every
I hate before. It when that happens.
I do, too. Oh, shoot. But they were going so good, I didn't want to see them get broke up.
Hell, I got a rule in my boat. Flip them in, boys. Don't call for the net unless he's well over 3 pounds. If he's 3 pounds or less, just flip him over the side, let him flop, and until you get your limit, then you got to take better care of the fish. You know, don't put them on the floor and all that. But
yeah, but if it's going to be a keeper, my rule is boat flip them,
especially with them multi hook baits, man. I hate.
That's
you
right.
know, having a hook all tangled up in the net, and then somebody will get a big one on invariably, and it'll be right up by the boat, and you can't even use a net because it's, well, back in the day when fishing was real big time, I carried two nets just for that.
That's right.
One of those just-in-case moments.
I've got one of those crummy old rubber nets,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, a shallow rubber net that they can just about jump out of. But it works really well with treble hooks.
Yeah, it does. And I remember those bigger trout used to run through those holes in them. You know, that webbing would stretch out when it hit it head first, you know. And they'd go through. Well, you just flip the net over and just scoop them up with a backside. And then when you took him
That's
off,
right.
you had to fish your lure, you know, double it through there, get it out of the loop. But
yeah, I've had that happen, too.
Old rubber nets.
But the hooks don't get tangled in it.
No, that's really all we used when we were mirror lure fishermen back in the day. It was, remember them old cheap twine nets, I'd call them. They got the old, little aluminum frame and had that old, thin, almost like mono netting in it. Hey,
yeah.
I'd see guys come in and they'd have 12, 14 mirror lures in there. They'd just cut them off and leave them in it. And then when they get back to the dock, they'd fit, you know, work them out of there. They'd sit there and fish all their mirror lures back out of the net.
Just cut it off and tie on another one.
That's it. Just cut it off and keep chunking, baby. Tie on a new one.
Yeah. Sometimes time is money. You got to get
them. Get them while they're hot, baby.
Shoot, yeah.
Get them while they're feeding. Let me do my quick commercial break, and I'll come back at you.
If there's other boats around, I do not like waving a net in the air.
No.
That attracts unwanted attention.
Well, nowadays, you know, I can see it if you got a real big fish on and you really need that fish. But with the size fish we're catching now, somebody comes by and doing a little, one of those plow by bird dogging, you know, look overs. Just, you know, yeah. I won't even set the hook on a fish, or even if I've got one on, I'll just keep my rod down and don't even reel. That way they don't see that rod. Man, that bending rod syndrome gets them every time. They'll pull in, you know, like they're shopping at, you know, Blue Light Special at Kmart. They see that rod boat up. Let me do a quick break, Bill. I'll come right back at you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 519 in the Bayou City. All right, let's get back to Bill Watkins. All right, Bill, we are back, man.
Oh, yeah.
You ever been to Looking Bog?
I have.
I've been through there. Never stopped.
And I've been to a Willie concert, too.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. He come through Beaumont. That was a great show. He didn't have his whole band. He only had about three guys with him. And boy, they put on a show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I got some questions for you. Got some texts during the break. These are for Glenn. From Glenn, Glenn in Ohio. He's got a question for you. He said, what is distance and runtime from Bridge City to the Gulf? Always wondered the size of Sabine Lake. Sabine Lake's bigger than people think.
Yes, it is from Bridge City.
Yeah.
If you put in up Cow Bayou or Adams Bayou, one of the two, it's about a 6 mile run, 7 mile run to the lake. And then you got about 18 miles down to the Causeway Bridge. And then you got 10 miles till you break through the end of the jetty.
Yeah.
So a pretty good trip.
That's a good run.
Anybody going offshore would be better served to launch down at Sabine Pass
right.
or at the Causeway Bridge. And that way the Gulf's right there.
Got another one here for you. Let's see, floating or sinking hot rods and lilies?
Okay. It's all based on how deep the fish are running.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm fishing like a 6 foot, a channel that's going across a flat,
mm-hmm.
and the fish are laying in the shell right on the bottom of it, I would much prefer to throw the S model.
Yeah, the sinkers.
Lele or the standard hot rod. You know, the Lele floats and the hot rod sinks. And then you've got a sinking model for the hot rod and a floating model for the hot rod and a sinking model for the Lele. You can buy them either way you want them.
Yeah.
And so I base it on just how deep those fish are holding. Like yesterday, they wanted it to float back up, and a lot of the strikes came as it just dimpled the top of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I was throwing a sinking hot rod, and I didn't get quite as many bites, and that might have been part of my reason I didn't catch as many.
Floating hot rod might have worked better then if they were wanting a lily like that.
Have.
Yeah.
But in the heat of battle, I couldn't change weapons.
No, if you're getting bison, I mean, it's foolish to change.
My guests were throwing fish all over me, and I just had to defend myself.
What's that old saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right. And every chance I got to throw, I would catch one.
Well, but, bites are bites,
they were
man.
Catching a little bit.
Yes, sir.
I base it all on how deep the fish are trying to be.
Exactly.
Definitely an S model Lele on the right day is the way to go. And if the fish are feeding up and running across shallow reefs and stuff like that, man, just throw the floating one. You can't miss.
Man, I'm longing for the days when we get that 3 and 4 foot visible water, you know, clarity depth and
I'd love
green
to see that.
And be able to see the fish swim, you know, 5-10 yards to attack a bait, just jump all over it, where they, you know, they can visibly feed instead of just feed off of noise, you know, rattling and vibration and everything.
Yeah, them old trout got big old eyes. They can see in the dark, but
yeah, they can.
it helps to expand the strike zone by having a little bit of visibility in that water.
Sure does.
Yeah, I enjoy clear water. I think everybody does. Sometimes it gets so clear it makes it a little difficult for them to take a lure.
Well, I wish we had that problem. I would love to. I would, you know, ride around and look for off-colored patches of water to catch the, you know, fish on the edge of. Because, you know, your bait reacts to that. When that water gets real clean and clear everywhere, that bait is definitely going to find, you know, some dingier water to hide in and not be such a big target. And, boy, those big trout and redfish will lay around the edges of that and ambush that bait in and out of that dirtier water to the clear water. That, man, I love fishing like that. That's awesome.
Well, we won't be far from seeing that pretty soon. Because
I'm going to hold you to that now.
both of our rivers are falling out.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, the water coming from up above Rayburn and Toledo has slacked
Slowed
off
up.
Because they, I looked at the graph, and the bottom's going to fall out of those rivers. We're going to get them back down to a normal level, and when that happens, we'll salt up within 2 days, and then that water will start clearing.
Yeah, we had a little.
If we don't get southwest winds for a month.
Well, I mean, it's that time of year. Here it comes. You know, it's we're already seeing that. We've got southwest. Been having a lot of it here lately. It's trying. It's kind of that south southwest. Not. I'd rather it either be due south or just straight out of the southwest, one or the other. Give me one or the other, not the combined of the two. I know Trinity River, you know, it got down to about 6,000, and in that last rain event, the Livingston went up over a half a foot above pool, so they've upped it to 14,000 again. So I guess that's the new norm. We're just going to have to deal with the flow.
Yeah.
But it's not enough to hurt, you know, everything. It just, I wish it'd just go to nothing for about 5 years. I just want 5 more years. I figure I got 5 good years left in me where I can really chase them hard.
Yeah, you might even surprise yourself. You might have a few more than that.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about wade fishing and all, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, grinding it out.
Yeah. It's not so much the wade fishing that bothers me. It's standing in one place. You know, that gets my back and my feet. If it wasn't for that, I need a console seat to lean against, and I could wade real good. But wading for a long period of time is just not my thing anymore.
No, the older you get, the less that's less attractive that is.
But I just take my waders and put them out. And ride around and look for more fish, and they call me on the cell phone if they're not catching. Go pick them up and take them to the next spot. I can move fast that way.
Yeah.
I just keep myself out of the water and go look for fish. Works real well.
Why do we love catching fish so much? That's what I can't understand, how it gets. It eats on you. It gets in your blood, and you can't. You know, you think, well, I could probably walk away from this. You can't. Once you, it's in your blood, you just can't walk away from fishing.
No, I think I'm going to have to die away from it.
Die away from it?
Yeah. People ask me, say, how long are you going to keep guiding? And I tell them right up front, you'll find my body behind this center console.
Yeah, that'd be a good way to go, man. Go out there doing what you love. You know, how many times has a man got to set the hook and reel a fish in his lifetime? There's, you just don't live long enough to get a feel of it, I guess. I don't know. It's when I don't fish for a while, I miss it so bad it eats your guts out. You just go, wow, I got to get some therapy. I got to get back on the water, man.
So many fish, so little time.
Yeah.
True. And I just love being out there. I just love being out there. If I was stuck guiding bass fishermen, I'd be happy with that. You know, if I was
any
stuck
kind of fishing,
the rest
yeah.
of my time down here on the coast, I'm fine with that. Just either one, that's good.
Fishing in
just
general, it's just a good sport. But, you know, there's two species that I just rate over the others. You know, as far as inshore fishing, that's speckled trout and bass. It's my two favorite fish to catch.
That would be me too. That's for sure. Well, partner, I got
to
go.
Go to work, man. Get
brush my
here.
Teeth and throw on my clothes and go.
Oh, you actually brush your teeth before you go fishing? That's good for your customers.
Yeah, don't want to knock them down with bad breath, for goodness sakes.
Wow.
Of course, we're keeping a social distance in the boat now, so we're
not. Put your COVID-19 mask on. All right, buddy. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you and hook up, how do they get a hold of you, Bill?
409-786-2018.
All right. OurFishSabineLake.com.
That's right. Hey, man, I just put my burka on, and it's all good.
All right, buddy.
I covered my ears, my face, my head. Looked like a turtle, kind of.
That's it.
So take care, brother.
Hey, we'll see you, Bill. Good luck today. Hope you catch him up, man. See you.
All right.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right, that's Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake, and it's 429 here at Sports Radio 610. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with the Fish Dude right after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 434 in the Bayou City. Let's head up Lake Conroe way now. Let's get started off with the Fish Dude, old Captain Ripper, Richard Tosh. Ripper? Hey, about the Ripper.
There you go, man.
Spit it out, man.
That's it. As long as you ain't got Jack in front of it, we're all right.
Yeah, I got a question from you from a listener. He said, he already knew you were coming up. Said, ask Richard, where can a person catch shad from the bank? He said, I'm on Rayburn, and it seems like the shad are small. Hugh from Zavala. Yeah, at Rayburn.
Well, if he's in Zavala, I mean, go right down there to Castle Boykins boat ramp right at daylight. They're going to be right on the ramp.
Yeah, but he said the shad are small. Where could he get some bigger ones?
Yeah, well, get on the end of those boat ramps, not right up on the bank side of it, but get on the end of those boat ramps and chunk on the end and just keep chunking out there. Then bigger ones will move in, and them gizzard shad are moving up there on those ramps right now.
Okay.
That's what I've been catching a bunch of them over here. And the bigger gizzard shad, what you do is you find one of the boat ramps got some brim loaded up on it, and that's they're there. Because the other day I made a cast on one of these ramps over here, and in one cast I got like six brim and then three big gizzard shad. So
gotcha.
That's right now. That's about the best place for the bigger ones now. Now, the Rayburn shad, yeah, them little ones are there because they just got through with the, you know, like bulkhead stuff around here still kind of happening. And it's the same thing. They just got through wrapping up. So, yeah, there's a bunch of dang small ones up there. Either that or get you a bigger net size and sift through them things and just, yeah, you'll make a lot of cash. There ain't no doubt. I'm starting to have to do that a lot in the mornings myself, get out here and just make a lot of casts, and then eventually you'll weed through and get the ones you want, you know. Because it's, like right now, it's taking me about 30, 45 minutes to catch enough shad. And for me, enough shad is right around 100 for a day.
Right.
So that's for a half a day. I'm only doing morning stuff right now because it's so, you know, it's getting hot.
Yeah, it is.
That's weird. You go from the polar cap to freaking summertime, or all in a week. That's just nuts.
Yeah, I think springs and the tail lights.
Ooh-wee. You think? Good night. I tell you what, it's amazing how this stuff has just changed up. Because like last week was it last week? Yeah, it was last like Thursday or something. It's 46 degrees.
Yeah, it was chilly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Will said it was like 42 up at Rayburn.
I know that there
was one morning.
There was one morning over here. It was actually, it was 43 when I left the house. I think it's 46 at the lake. It's like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it's in May or April anyway. And what the heck? And now it's turn on the heater, 90 degrees. But I'll tell you what, that's the one thing about it. If you don't like the weather now, wait a little bit. It's going to change. But it's all good. Well, hopefully you can get some bigger shad off them boat ramps anyway, because like I say, that's kind of what I've been seeing here lately, especially with the brim are trying to start spawning. So that's another thing. You know, you got the transition from the shad spawn to the brim spawn. And that's the one that's you got to kind of pay attention to.
Right.
They'll flip on you real quick. Now, them bigger gizzard shad tend to want to spawn with the brim, where the thread fin and all that, they spawn early, like with the crappie and everything. But it's a weird little deal. But once you kind of figure it out, it's all good. And one of the other things I was wanting to talk about, well, you know, while we're on this morning.
Before we leave the cast net thing and the shad thing, he sent another question back.
Okay.
What's your favorite cast net size and brand?
Well, the brands, I just typically, what is that dang brand? I don't know. Academy sells them. It's Cast Mat. I don't know. It's some old cheap one. The good ones are just too dang expensive for me because I go through three or four a year.
Yeah.
I throw a 7-footer, which is the legal size in the state of Texas as far as throwing inland is. You can't throw anything over a 14-foot radius. I love throwing an 8-foot net. The reason I love throwing an 8-foot net is because this is pretty much the only workout I get is throwing a cast net. Well, 8-footer is about 16 pounds, and you throw a 16-pound net 100 times, I guarantee you, your upper body feels it. So, and I just, it's a good, comfortable net for me to throw, even though I don't throw it. I like throwing an 8-footer.
Yeah. 7-foot. Well, forgive me if I don't shake hands.
Right. But, you know, the thing is, a seven foot net is a good net for me to throw. I enjoy throwing it for the workout aspect of it. But it takes a little bit to kind of figure it out. I've gotten to the point to where I can't throw a small net. Like most people throw a 3-3.5 foot net, you know, because that's the typical. You can go to Walmart, you can go to Academy, you can go pretty much anywhere and get a 3.5 to 4 foot cast
right.
net. And everybody throws them. Well, you know, I'm trying to be more efficient, so I want the biggest I can get. And
sure.
Those 7-footers are just, I mean, they're nice little nets to throw. And you get them open up, as long as they look like a pancake when they hit the water, they don't, you know.
I like watching those videos of those little Asian guys. I don't know how big around those nets are.
It
looks like they'd cover a basketball court when they hit the water out there, man. They're huge.
Man,
how do they do that?
I know. I've been trying to figure out that all my dang life. I can't figure it out. But
there's an art to that.
There really is an art to it. I mean, there's some people that can just make it look so easy. Now, with a 7-footer, I make it look like nothing, you know,
because
I've done it so dang long. But
so a 7-footer, that actually gives you what, a 14-foot diameter circle?
Right. That gives you a 14-foot radius. So
right.
That's, you know, that's what you need to measure from the weights to the top. That's 7 foot. So you get, and, you know, you do a little bit of math there. It's just, you know, 14-foot radius, and that's all you're legally allowed according to the state of Texas. Now, I don't know about the coastals. The coastal stuff, I see those guys throwing those big giant nets on the coast, so I don't know. I know in Louisiana they throw them all the time. I mean, they'll throw
yeah, anything goes 12, over there.
Well, yeah, but a 12, 14-foot net, I see them throw them all the time over there. And, it, you know, they kind of wad it up the same way I do a 7-footer, so I'm pretty sure I could get one of them bigger nets out
there.
But, it's you know, it's like I say, there's art to it. You know, you got
to
get a little practice in that.
That'll work. Well, before we run out of time on cast nets, how's the fishing, brother?
Man, the crappie are doing good. Yesterday we fished with pretty much shad and jigs. We didn't use any.
You had some slabs yesterday, buddy. You had some nice crappie, man.
Man, there were some big ones yesterday. They weren't biting real fast. Man, there were some big ones biting. And then
it don't matter when they're that size. That's good stuff.
I know. You ain't kidding. I'll tell you what, it's something else. And then, but another thing I want to talk about before we run out of time is, you know, and I know it's been talked about a lot, and I don't know about lately, but I hear over the years it's been talked about a lot, boat ramp etiquette.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Go for it, man.
I know.
I know. Well, see, the thing is, a lot of people don't understand at night when you're back in a boat in the water, cut your headlights off. You know, people can't see. You know, people that are trying to launch their boats cannot see.
Yeah, just flip it down and keep your parking lights on. That way you still see your tail lights and everything's
right.
Good. You don't blind the other guy trying to put in, too.
Right. You know, that's one of the big things I've noticed lately, because there's a lot of people putting in super early now, you know, with all this stuff going on and staying at home and all that. And then the other thing is, you know, during the daylight hours, you pull up to the boat ramp. Normally you're going to go pay your launch fee or whatever, you know, so undo your boat right there, put your plug in, undo your straps, get everything ready to roll. When you pull up to the ramp, if you got somebody in the boat, just put them in the boat, back in the water, dump them and go, right?
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Or if you don't, back down there and just have everything ready. So get in, start it, back off the trailer. Don't back down the ramp and then start undoing all your ramps, all your straps, putting your plug in, all that stuff. You know, you're occupying the space and time. And the reason I say that is because it's always had lines that have been a mile long waiting to get in the water. And a lot of that's due to people just sitting there holding up the ramp. They're just, you know, you got a four boat launch ramp, and you got one person on it because they've got it all tied up because no one can make a corner because of where you park, or no one can back in because you all jacked up on the ramp or whatever. I mean, whatever, it don't matter. Just you're out there undoing the straps and stuff. Get out of the way. I mean, and then the headlight thing, boy, that is just aggravating as heck. You know, just turn, you know, if you're in a position where you can't back down the ramp and it's wide open, and you know, because there's only one vehicle there, I mean, come on, cut your lights off.
Oh, I've had them cut in front of me, come flying in, and just, and I'm next. And as soon as the vehicle pulls out of the ramp, I'm ready to pull in. I got everything undone. Well, I had a joker one time pull in front of me, block the ramp, then put his waders on, him and his buddy, and then loaded their stuff. I'm just sitting there in awe. I'm
exactly.
Going, I said, you know, if I knew those guys, I'd say they did it on purpose, just jacking with me. But I'm going,
right.
Really, people can't be this stupid, man.
But they are. I mean, they really are. You know, the thing is,
like, I'm sitting there, you know, what do you think? I was just parked there and was going to wait till the sun comes up to put in. And
I guess.
I'm going, oh, man, you can't make this up. So
no, you really can't.
But I was in a good mood that morning. On other mornings, if I'd have been a little grumpy or whatever, I'd have had words with a guy. I'd have went over there and gotten his face. But, I'm going fishing, enjoying myself. I mean, the fish aren't going to bite till I get there anyway.
That's right.
Think about that. You know, they're not going to bite till you get there.
That's exactly right. If you ain't biting before you get there. Once you get there, they'll start biting. But
there
you
go.
That's the thing, you know. But it's just something I think needs to be talked about as far as that. You know, just because it's, you know, it's just being courteous to others, and that's, you know, I'm in a hurry. I want to get on the water too. But, you know, when someone's up there kind of, you know, in the way, just like yesterday, I had to tell two people, hey, you mind cutting your headlights off? You know, I'm trying to back down the ramp, and I can't do it because you got your headlights pointing right at me. They do it. I mean, they just didn't think about it. And that's why I want to talk about it, because most people don't think about it.
Well, Richard, I'm glad you held church for me this morning. That's good stuff there, buddy. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come up and fish with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you, Richard?
Well, make anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. To check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudestx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudestx.com.
All right, buddy. All right, be safe out there. Go catch them up, man.
Yes, sir. Y'all be safe.
All right, dude. See you later. All right, that's Richard the Fish Dude Tosh up on Lake Conroe. Now we're going to go down the coast a little bit and talk to Captain Charlie Paradossi. We just call him Charlie P. down in Mattagit Down Gorda. Charlie, what's up?
Morning, Mickey. What's happening?
Oh, man, just hanging out. What are you doing?
Getting ready to fight the elements.
Yes, you are. It warm up nice for you down there?
Yeah.
You've been pulling any of those lovely Charlie Paradosky winds, the beautiful Southwest?
Yeah, it's blowing down here.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't fished since Monday, Mickey. That's the last really good day that the wind was down.
Yeah, I saw your catch. You had a good day.
Yeah, but it's been blowing ever since, and like it is everywhere else. And here we got a holiday weekend. We got a muddy East Bay. We got a muddy Colorado River. We got a muddy Diversionary Canal. So where's that going to put everybody? West Matagorda Bay.
Yeah. So, I know.
Not looking forward to it, but I'm going to take them and do the best we can. I'm going to fish the next 3 or 4 days and see what we can do. It's, you know, the wind's got everybody limited in where they can fish, so that's what we got to deal with over here.
Y'all been catching
them over there?
Yeah, it's been decent. It's been pretty good. It just depends on where you're at. You know, we got, we got a few, tide runners moving through, coming in, and they're meeting up kind of with the resident fish, and it's making catch rates a lot better action for everybody. Yeah. Water's starting to clean up down south. You know, everybody seems to be kind of in that Campbell, lower Galveston Bay pattern right now, jetties, you know, Galveston Channel, all that. And it just, as the water gets better, everything keeps moving north. Eventually, maybe by October, I'll have a ton of fish in my lap. But up my way, you're just, you know, with these winds, you're just pinned to certain areas, and if fish aren't there, you're just, you know, SOL. And
it's the same.
It is what it is.
Right, if you're not in the right place, you're going to struggle. These fish are not, and we're dealing mainly with tide runners when we're down here wading West Matagorda Bay, or
mm-hmm.
if you're drifting, whatever. And you get to a holiday weekend like this, you better make the right stop, or it's going to be tough. You know?
Yeah, it'd be nice to see them get a calm Memorial Day weekend for a change. Usually it cranks on Memorial Day.
And it seems
balls
like
everybody up. You know, everybody's stacked in the same areas. It'd be nice to spread everybody out and get some clean, calm weather for a change. Plus, tournament kicking off for the weekend, too.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot nicer when East Bay's got clarity and you got some people that come to Matagorda and they just want to fish the river and diversion rates. Now, I don't care what the weather's doing, but they ain't doing that this weekend. I don't know how much water they let out of Fayette County, but it's pretty dirty.
Well, that ain't no good.
Yeah. But we'll deal with it. We've done it before. We'll see what happens. I don't think it's not that we don't have the fish. We got plenty of fish around here. We just
you just got to have the elements.
That's right. You got to have some conditions. What we need.
That's it.
Yep.
Boy, when is everybody going to be able to get in the surf and get it right? I was going to, you know, my target this week. You know, I didn't have any trips, so I was going to go hit surf, and didn't work out for me. You know, Monday I knew it was still going to be dirty, and. Sure enough, my buddy Craig in G-Town, he sent me pictures saying, the surf is not clean, and maybe in the morning, but I was looking at the forecast. They were calling for it to be southwest during the night, and southwest at like 9 to 10 at daylight on Tuesday. Well, you know, it was Tuesday morning, it was more like 15 to 17, so I didn't go. I didn't get to do it, so.
Well, that's the same pattern that everybody had planned out down here, too. In fact,
yeah.
Monday that wind was down, and half the people did go to the surf, you know, to look at it. They ended up.
They hadn't had time to clean up overnight.
No, they turned around and came back.
Yeah, it just, you know, it takes it a while to clean up. A few tide exchanges, and it just, we didn't have the time between the winds.
And then the weather report said that, no, tomorrow's the day for the surf. You're going to be right. Mm-hmm. One-footers. It wasn't.
Nope.
So, no, we're still waiting for surf action over here, too. It's the last couple of years, but it's been around the first week of June that it's gotten right, you know? I can remember back when I used to get to surf 20, 30 times a year, you know, starting in April. Just weather patterns are different. It's not like that anymore.
True.
So it's one of the reasons I came to Matagorda, because of the surf.
Well, there's no better conservationist for the fish than Mother Nature.
That's right.
Look at the fish she saves. If we had perfect weather every day, we'd be out of fish.
That's right. And then this virus thing's helped us, too, because there's no tournaments piled on us like there normally would be.
Right.
So everything happens for a reason, Mickey, I guess so.
I guess so. I'll be glad when all this is over with. I'm sick of hearing, it's just, that's all you hear.
I know. Be nice to watch a baseball game again.
Yes, it would. I'm longing for that. I need my baseball. Definitely need it.
Of course, all this helped the Astros. It took a lot of pressure off of them at a time, didn't it? Jesus. Saved them.
Well,
we're going to fish the next several days, Mickey. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, I wish you the best and hope the weather cooperates. I think our rain chances pick up over the weekend. So we'll just have to see. It's only a forecast.
That's right.
Well, if somebody wants to get with you, Charlie, give them a number out, buddy.
713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Well, it's always a pleasure. Good luck today, and get them early and get in quick.
Take care, Mickey.
We're going to do it. Thanks, buddy. See you.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's Charlie P. down in Matagorda.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.